When you feel your voice is not being heard, please consider calling the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections. The show wants to be the vehicle you can use to express your opinion or get your issue out to a larger audience. We're living in a time that we can no longer allow others to speak on our behalf. If you wish to be a guest on the show and discuss on the show what's important to you, call James T. Deshaies at 407-394-9819. Your issue or focus can be placed on the calendar. The show is live 7 days a week, Sunday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Call in 657-383-0309. We can no longer reside in the shadow of life. It's imperative that we're on top of the issues that impact our lives now and in the future.
Welcome, everyone. This is your host, James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Today is Friday, and I'm excited about being here with you. I also want to remind you that on August 30th, we have the opportunity to vote for a congressperson, and I'm in hoping that you will be encouraged to vote for Geraldine Thompson for Congress. She is an elected official who has been in an elected official now almost 10 years, and we want to keep her, take her to a higher level, and make sure she continues to work on our behalf.
This is Senator Geraldine Thompson. I didn't seek to begin my legislative career in Congress. I volunteered to assist other candidates I believed in. I was appointed to the Florida Commission on Human Relations by Governor Bob Graham and fought discrimination throughout Florida. In 2006, I was elected to the Florida House of Representatives, where I learned how to craft pieces of legislation and get them passed. In 2012, I was elected to the Florida Senate, where I focused on legislation and appropriations that meant millions of dollars for projects in my district. I learned the process from the ground up and know what it takes to be effective. Ambition is one thing and preparedness is another. In Congress, I'll be prepared to serve you on day one, and I ask for your vote on August 30th.
Paid for by Geraldine F. Thompson for Congress.
This is Geraldine F. Thompson, candidate for Congress, District 10, and I approve this message.
I truly hope those of you who are in the Central Florida area will consider voting for Geraldine Thompson, because she is the best person for the job, and we need people like her fighting the wars for us on Capitol Hill. You know, today I just want to talk about a unique situation, and this situation that I'm going to talk about, or we will talk about today, has a lot to do with family and how important it is for family to stick up for family and for family to always be there for each other. And we shouldn't not allow small, unimportant issues to destroy our family. Because at the end of the day, your family has to be there for you because they love you. You don't need to be looking for people outside of your family to give you the family kind of support that you should be receiving from your siblings and from your mother and father. And I tell you, it's a really difficult thing. You know, I'm here with speaking with you, and I was the only child, and I've lost both my mother and father. And I don't have any sisters and brothers, so I have to rely on being a part of a group of individuals outside of my family who will give me their unbiased opinions and help me get through whatever issues I might have. I do have some first cousins and aunts and uncles, but none of them live near me. But this story is tragic on so many levels that we're about to hear. But one of the most tragic levels is that this young man didn't see fit to bring his family into his inner circle. and by bringing other people outside of his family into his inner circle, it endangered his existence. So I just want to share this story with you so we can talk about, you know, the tragedy and how this has a larger stage or a larger issue that goes beyond this incident and impacts all our individual lives, and we need to go back and possibly mend fences with our family members so we don't find ourselves in like situations. So I'm going to play the audio, and I want you to just listen to it and for us to have a discussion about why it's so important to keep your inner network with your family intact so that you can avoid situations that you don't bring people into your life that may not be thinking about your best interest.
We are tonight's winning numbers. 12.
6. 13.
6 numbers.
34. 42.
Just random digits.
52.
Until sometime later, when those 6 numbers put a man 6 feet under. His body eventually discovered buried beneath a concrete slab in a backyard. The incredible story begins far from the glitz and beaches most of us think of as Florida, past the citrus fields in the middle of the state, all the way to the outskirts of the sleepy town of Lakeland. And the doorway of this barber shop. It's here where owner Greg Smith first met a 42-year-old man with the colorful name of Abraham Shakespeare.
He used to come around to the shop, let him work, get paid, or buy him something to eat, you know. That's how I first met him.
His name, Abraham Shakespeare, evokes both the Old Testament and Elizabethan plays, but our modern-day tragic hero would have read neither. He was illiterate and down on his luck.
No, he was a less fortunate person.
You couldn't make it up. Shakespeare was like a living, breathing lotto commercial, the kind of guy you'd love to see moving from the poorhouse to the penthouse overnight.
Action News.
Breaking lottery news, you're not going to believe this.
And one fateful day, the fairy tale came true. Of all people, Abraham Shakespeare won a jackpot worth $30 million.
And one day, he came to the barbershop. And he was like, "Greg, listen, I'm finna buy me a new car. I hit the lottery. I didn't get out my face. He ain't hit no lottery."
Oh, yes, he did. Shakespeare bought himself that new car, fancy new house, and lots more. But as so often happens, this lotto winner's drama didn't stick to the script. That's because the money also brought unwanted attention. Novelist and longtime Florida crime writer Carl Hyacin has seen it before.
All of a sudden you have friends you didn't know you have, and they're crawling out of every rat hole you can imagine.
Did you know that he was losing his fortune? Did you know that all that money was being frittered away?
We had heard. The rumors were in the community that he had given money to everybody.
Greg's sister, Sanji, says Abraham was so sweet-natured, he couldn't say no to the endless mooching. And as Shakespeare's millions slipped away, so did his sunny disposition.
Every day he'd come to the barbershop, and he was like, "I wish I could go back to my old self. I wish I didn't even have no money."
He was serious when he said that.
He was dead serious.
Then, one day, a woman magically appears on the stage. No one knows exactly how she found Shakespeare, but it would not have been that hard. He was all over the news. Her name was Dee Dee Moore.
How would you?
She would have found some huge red flags, convictions for writing bad checks, and making up a false story of a violent carjack. Convinced Shakespeare she had the financial chops to salvage what was left of his winnings.
As we got to talking more about the book, he kept having problems with all his financing, and that's when he had asked me to help him out some.
This is somebody with pretty much of a room temperature IQ, and yet here she moves in.
Shakespeare purchased this house to be her office, but the book never materialized. The only pen to paper appeared to be Dee Dee writing checks in Shakespeare's name.
You get tired of people asking for money all the time, Ed?
They don't take no for an answer.
But pay close attention to this. The only video of Dee Dee and Shakespeare together. You'll notice, instead of talking about the past, Dee Dee asks Shakespeare about his future.
So where are you going to go to?
It don't matter to me. I'm not a picky person.
California. You want a foreign country.
There is.
Cozumel.
Later on, this video would become critical when detectives came to suspect something sinister.
Are you going to miss your home?
Yeah, but I miss it, but life goes on.
Or does it? Not long after this interview, the man who was everywhere was suddenly nowhere. Shakespeare stopped coming into the barbershop. No one saw him driving around town with Dee Dee anymore either. Where was he?
How many cases do you think he worked?
60 to 100 investigations.
Where does the Abraham Shakespeare one rank?
It definitely has to rank number one. I mean, it's the one that sticks out the most.
Detective David Wallace and his team of investigators entered the picture soon after.
He knew that something was fishy, but it seemed like he didn't have enough evidence. Correct.
With everyone wondering what had happened, Dee Dee was the only one. It's about this time that Dee Dee reaches out to Greg Smith. Turns out, Greg isn't just Abraham's boss. He's one of his borrowers, too. He owes Shakespeare $63,000.
I was going through some bank issues, and I was waiting on the bank to give me a loan. And he was like, well, why don't you just pay me back? Next thing I know, he had papers drawn up and a $63,000 check.
The cops would learn that Dee Dee now has a proposal for Greg. Help her avoid the heat, and she'll help him avoid his debt. Fast forward a few weeks to a most unusual night at the local Cracker Barrel. Dee Dee is having dinner with Shakespeare's mother, Elizabeth, when Dee Dee's phone rings. She says it's Abraham calling from wherever he is, but in reality, the caller is none other than Greg Smith, Abraham's friend and boss from the barbershop, now in cahoots with Dee Dee.
I was like, Mom, how you doing, this Abraham? I'm okay. I just want to let you know I'm okay, and I'm up.
So that's how
that's
he spoke,
just how
slowly
he talked.
And haltingly.
That's just how he talked.
Why would Smith do such a cruel thing? He says he thought it was okay because it would make Abraham's mother feel better. What he didn't know was that the cops are already all over Dee Dee. Their surveillance tracks his phone, and a short time later, they pull him over.
And this is right after he made that phone call.
Yeah, they were like, get out of the car. I said, oh, Lord. I'm like, Lord Jesus, I'm going to jail.
So now the cops are questioning the barber and still following the blonde, Dee Dee. At that point, no one could have predicted where the case would go, or that the big break would come from a little can of Red Bull. Stay with us.
This is your host, James T. Deshay of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. And, you know, I just wanted to play that for you because here's a young man who is obviously has some mental issues and has difficulty processing, you know, what situation he's finding himself in after winning the lottery. And he doesn't have the protection of his family. He has a loving mother, he has a sister, but for some reason, there's a disconnect with his family that allows a white female to come in his life and to gain control over his money. And control over his money to the extent that she's able to have her name placed on all of his accounts and be able to write checks for him and convince him to purchase large items for him. And this is where your family comes in. This is where you need those people who love you to come in and have a presence in your life so that when you're doing things that are not in your best interest, somebody can intervene. But certainly this was not the kind of relationship that he had with his family. And so this is one of those sad stories where a young man wins a large sum of money through the lottery, but is murdered by someone who sees him only as a means to gain full control over millions of dollars. So this goes to that humanity piece when we're talking about family and how you shouldn't allow things to get between you and your blood ones, because these are the kinds of things that will happen. And this happened in Lakeland, Florida, to a young man in his early 30s who should have lived the rest of his life in joy, but died at the hands of an evil individual. We're going to go to our phone lines and just discuss how it is that you, at the most important time in your life, somehow you don't see or have a relationship with your family in order to protect you. Audrey, are you out there? Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, this is Audrey from Lakeland, Florida, the same location of your story. And I really appreciate the angle in which you're coming from, the family connection piece or the family relationship piece. As you mentioned earlier, this story has several different components to it, starting out with the gentleman being illiterate. And while he was not close to his family, at least as close as we think he should have been, he was a prime target to be taken advantage of, which he was. And the young lady that entered the picture, I'm not sure how people define gold diggers, but I'm sure some would say this is a perfect example of a gold digger, an opportunity for her to take advantage of this man with millions and millions, but you surely wouldn't think to the level of death or killing. But she did, and from my understanding, I mean, she had him buried under the ground, and it put cement even over it. But I agree, in a family, you mentioned being a single child. My son is also a single child, and I think some of the things that always concern me about him not having a natural brother or sister, while he had, sisters and brothers by marriage. But I know I come from a large family, and I could always go to my brothers and or sisters, or either they would just, even if I didn't come to them, they would definitely give me direction and guidance, because I'm the youngest girl. And even to this day, we are a close family. We talk regularly, no matter where we're located. So obviously, if his family was there and close and in the vicinity in which he lived, it was something there. I mean, you wouldn't have experience, but you would think that families all get together. And on yesterday's show, we talked about functional families, and my view is that it's not a such thing as a functional, because I believe all families are dysfunctional. It's just how you handle those dysfunctions. But he was truly taken advantage of. I hate to hear that he was sad, and the fact that he had wished that he had never seen all that money. You know, sometimes when we dream, if we are children, we said, if you had $1 million, what would you do? In this case, it was millions and millions of dollars. What would you do? And we dream. We dare to dream of some of the things that we would do. But along with that comes, you know, big money come big opportunities. And, I mean, big opportunities for people to prey on you. And this is exactly what happened. And you can look at some of the athletes and actresses. It's a reason why they have to have bodyguards. It's a reason why they have to have financial analysts. It's a reason why they are instructed, at least Bill Cosby suggested, to Oprah Winfrey, make sure that you sign every check, you know, so that you'll know where your money is going. Because to receive a whole lot of money at one time, you think you know what to do, it'll be gone so fast. But I'm like him, and I haven't hit the lottery by no means, but I wouldn't want to be wealthy. I would like to be comfortable and well off where I'm in a position where I can bless others. But I've never had the desire to have a lot of money. And that's when people would ask me questions. Unfortunately, I'm in a stage in my life where someone would say, if you had $1 million and you didn't have to use it responsibly, you would just have to just use it, but you don't have to really be accountable for it, I wouldn't know what to do because I'm so structured and understand the value of money because we had challenges coming up in a poor family. So, but I do appreciate you taking the angle of the importance of family because I do agree, no matter disagreement or not, you've heard the saying, blood is thicker than water, and you always try to protect your blood.
And that's what the case is. Again, we don't know what had gone on in his family before, and the fact that he had some mental issues, maybe he was estranged from his family, but they seemed to care a lot about him once he became missing. But someone should have been concerned once this young lady got entrance into his life and he was buying all these high-ticket items for her, and they weren't even married. I mean, he had not married this woman, so there was no reason why he should have found it necessary to purchase a house for her. And but yet, she had gained such control of his life that she was between him and his family. Yeah.
And so quickly.
And the mother was looking for her to tell her where her son was. You know, I mean, normally, if you tell anybody where you're going, the first person you're going to tell is your mother or a close sibling. So the fact that you have a person outside the family unit who had more personal information or knowledge about your life than your family suggests that there was a problem.
Mm-hmm. I agree. But one thing you have to recognize, you think a little different, I think, than in situations that's more common now. You know, you have a young a person that come into your life, and you feel that you care about him. I'm sure she put on moves to make him feel loved and valued and appreciated, and he has that money and, in essence, wasn't really concerned with it, so he wanted to make her happy. You see a lot of times people buy nice, expensive gifts for people that they're not married to. So that, to me, that wouldn't have been a sign or a signal. If he had become involved in someone as a family member, I would have asked him, but it still would have been his choice whether he would have shared that or not. So I can see how it happened.
Well, it baffles me. We have another person on the line. Let's see if they'd like to add to the conversation. 1958. Would you like to share your opinion about this story?
Of course, Mr. Deshay. How are you guys doing? Hi, Ms. Audrey. Hi, Mr. Deshay.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for asking. Well, did the story say that the man had any mental issues? Did they say that he was autistic? Because I know I have three brothers, and most of the time they don't tell us everything that they're doing as a, you know, as a family member, and we are really close. So I see it as a man, you know, getting with a woman, and hey, whatever he has, sharing what he has with the woman that has been presented in his life. And you know how men are. They like to splurge when they have a beautiful woman with them. They like to, if they have money where they can take care of her, they will do that. So I didn't see that it would be strange for him to buy certain things for this woman. The only thing that that was kind of strange to me is his friend, the person that he was going to the barbershop every day, but that he would go into cahoots with the woman. So what part did he play? Did they say he was a part of the murder or I did hear him saying, you know, that he was doing that to make the mom feel comfortable, but was he a part of the murder? You know, was he just being money hungry or what? You know, did the story say?
Well, she was a white female, and I didn't find her to be the most attractive white female, but she from the very beginning sought to gain control of his money, and they were not in a relationship. She didn't go in terms of trying to befriend him and become his lover. She was more went and tried to gain his confidence by being his financial advisor.
Right. And
once she obviously killed him, she was seeking to make people believe that he was still alive. And that's where the barber came into play. And what she had suggested to him was that she would forgive his loan if he would call the mother and act as though he was the son.
Yeah, but isn't that what we do once we get this inheritance or lottery? We go and seek out an accountant, someone to help us with our finances, and it so happened that he would run into a woman. She may not be the most beautiful woman, you know, to some, but maybe he saw something in her that was intriguing or interesting. I don't know. You know, I don't know. You know, men are visual creatures, so maybe it was something there, you know, that allowed him to let her into his inner circle. But it doesn't seem like that he was that estranged from his family, since his mom, you know, they didn't say anything, like they were, you know, out of his life for so long. He could have possibly did something to them. Did they say anything about that in the story?
They did not say if there were any the definite situations that made him estranged. They seemed to be close enough that they stayed in touch, but he was on his own most of the time because he had a low IQ, and he was just trying to make it in the world. He'd go around doing odd jobs. He drank a lot, and so he had an alcohol problem. But he would go around doing odd jobs to maintain enough money to live. And, of course, a lot of people who are in that situation do play the lottery. But the issue for me became that it talked about this woman had no credentials to be a financial advisor. In fact, she had already had trouble with the law herself for writing bad checks and for also filing false police reports. So the fact was that because of his low IQ, he did not seek or didn't know how to seek finding out the information that would have assisted him in knowing that she was already a fraud. And what took place was that he, at that point, for whatever reason, again, like you say, maybe he had never been approached by a white female before. She came at him from a point of friendship. But both you and Audrey talked about, you know, that's what you do. You give away expensive gifts. And expensive gifts to me may be a ring or some jewelry or some money. But I guess I've never had the ability to give away no house. So
if you had millions of dollars, it wouldn't be a thing to go and purchase a $100,000 house, because that's nothing, you know.
That's right.
But if you look at it in that sense, and even as I'm not trying to look at it in a man's point of view, but as a woman, you know, knowing how men think, and I've been with, you know, men within my life, but now I'm married, but to know that the status that they were at, they were giving me gifts because of the kind of money that they had. You know, somebody bought me a car before, somebody, you know, they've given me all kind of things. So it depends on the man, what type of money he has, and men like to splurge and show their women off and give them big and nice gifts if they're able to do so.
Well, again, right, now, remember now, I'm saying to you, I understand that when you're talking about a relationship, she didn't come at him at that point. They don't speak of anything of them having a personal relationship. And I guess because of his mental capacity, that part didn't mean anything. But certainly you're right. Men do, you know, you work hard and you play hard so that you can do things that are out of the ordinary. And certainly you want to show someone that you care about how important they are to you. But again,
right,
that's why I thought about family. Your family has to be close enough to you when they see that you are going astray or that you might be taken advantage of, that they are in a position to intervene. And you don't want, knowing that your brother had a low IQ and someone just comes in and all of a sudden they put themselves in a position to write checks and that kind of thing, that just seems to me I would not turn that over to somebody who was not familiar with. And certainly my IQ is a little higher than his may have been, but that's why his family should have been even more protective. His family was there when he got the money. He didn't tell them they couldn't be there. They were taking pictures with him. And it just seems like someone should have stepped up and said, okay, let's go find us an attorney or let's go find you somebody instead of letting somebody find you. One of the key things is when you should go looking for somebody and find out what their credentials are and not let people call you because you don't know who calling you or who intervening in your life. And when they start asking you questions about your finances, and you say, hey, look, I didn't call you. Why are you questioning me about my finances? So that's what you have to be in fear of. And so that family component, that's the safe haven you need from your family.
Well, you know, sometimes when people get money, they start acting a little strange. So it's like, this is my money. You can't tell me who to give it to, what attorney to look for, you know. So I'm looking on the other side of when people
well,
get
let me
money
ask you
and how.
This question. If you had a family member that you knew had some issues in terms of their mental capacity, aren't we in a position in this country to file papers in a court when we think a family member might be taken advantage of because of their mental capacity?
Well,
I think
yeah,
you were allowed to do that.
Well, yeah, but nowadays, if the judge deems the person to be okay in their mental state, because I do have an autistic goddaughter, she's 22 years old, and she says that she's going to get married, but her mother, her brother, and her sister says she's not. But she says, yes, I am going to get married. So if the judge has not deemed her to be under her mother or her brother, and she's saying, yes, I am going to get married, this is my fiance, there's nothing that they can do. You know what I'm
Audrey,
saying?
Audrey, let me ask you, you have an only child. How protective would you be of him if some strange woman all of a sudden came into his life and started manipulating his finances?
Well, the thing of it is, unfortunately, because I'm in a different state, while we talk through the regular, I mean, but he'll be involved in relationships. And, of course, I understand enough that, you know, he's a very caring, giving person. And as mentioned before, men, at whatever level they are capable of, they want to share and give that. But as he seeks for a wife, I think he's going to look for a person that they talk about their finances and determine, you know, what steps they should take And until that happened, I'm hoping that he has me down as a beneficiary just in case. But if not, you know, I know that once you get married, that's the case. But in between, that gap in between, it just kind of, I think it kind of depends how strong the relationship is. And I know we are saying that they didn't have a relationship really between Abraham and Dee Dee, but it was something there. And whether it was because she stated that she could handle his finances, and even that, you know, you start to get close with people. Now, to what level or degree they became close, like I said, I'm sure she had motives in mind from the very beginning, and he seemed like he would be a very innocent person. You could put the mental capacity to the side, but he sounded like he's just a hardworking person trying to make it, you know, it was just too much, and he reached out for help, and unfortunately, the help was not in a person that was looking out for his good. But to answer your question about my son, and, you know, whenever he get involved with someone, I recognize that's that opportunity that they start taking steps, and finances is included, because nowadays, you know, if you think that you're going to have something long-term, I'm not saying, you know, right off the bat, but eventually you need to talk about finances, because you need to see what type of position, and I have taught him that. Make sure that you bringing something to the table, but make sure that young lady is bringing something to the table too. And if it's something that she have, whether it's credit that needs to be repaired and that kind of stuff, what steps are you guys going to take to get that done? You know, whether it's going to be separately or individually. But the finances is something that you have to talk about nowadays.
And you're so right, but you know, you look at, and again, when we talk about having someone that you know that is in your corner no matter what, through thick and thin, that you need to cultivate a relationship with someone that you know that your best interest is at heart. I know as a man.
Well, that's your values, but you have to know. Going in, you think that if you give that person your time and you start having them into your inner space, obviously you think something positive about that person. But, I mean, in reality, we really don't know a person. I mean, we're hoping that that's the case. But some people move at a faster rate, Mr. Deshay, than others do. You sound like you are a little more conservative. Everybody that is conservative as you. And especially it depends on, you know, what that person needs and desires are. It's a balance, give and take from both ends. So she zeroed in on that. He felt comfortable with it. And that's some of the choices that he made. But I was going to say something from a male perspective.
Well, one of the things I know that I do, and I, again, you know, we're a little bit away from the main part of the story, but I just want to say as a man perspective, you know that you want to be open and free and not selfish when you create a relationship, but you have to know your responsibilities and what responsibilities you have to other people in your life. I know for myself that as I move forward and I try to do the best that I can with the funds that I have, that I have a daughter. Now, my daughter is grown. Some people may say, well, you don't have any obligation to your daughter. She's grown and she's working and she lives in our own home. But at the same time, I feel a need or an obligation to make sure that no matter how long I live, that there is something left to her. And that's because of that family component. And when we talk about family, that we want the best for the people who are in our families and the people that we love, I just want to believe that you go that extra mile. And that's why I'm saying, if I had someone in my family that I thought did not have the mental capacity to handle a situation, I would intervene in their lives even if they didn't want me to, because I know that that's what I need to do. I wouldn't allow anyone to just take advantage of them if I knew what their situation was. And so, you know, they talk about interventions and that kind of thing. You know that if your child gets on drugs and you know that it may impact his life, you're not going to sit back and just watch his life be destroyed without trying to intervene. What do you think about that, Kathy? Are you there, Kathy?
Hello?
Audrey, what are your thoughts about intervention? Audrey?
Yes, I think it's important to have an intervention there. And you mentioned being able to leave something for your daughter, whether she's grown or not. And I truly believe that. I know that's how I am. I mentioned before, my son is grown, and whether he's married or not, and then I have a grandson, that's part of my legacy. I think it's part of my responsibility to leave of something. Now, we have, it was 9 children in our family, and we have 7 that's still alive now. And I can tell you what, everybody have their own way of thinking and coming at something. And we have disagreements and that kind of stuff. But the thing of it is, when we need to come together as a family on behalf of someone, like you said, that's not making it, we do it. And we're strong about that. And that person may get upset, and we understand they may get upset, but they know that it's the family stepping in, intervention, and doing what's best, at least what we do is best for that person in the long run, because they'll get over being upset with us, and we do it all in love. And we've had to do that on different occasions for different reasons. And that's what family is about, because sometimes we can be in a relationship or in a situation, and because we are entwined in it, we don't see everything that the others from the outside are looking in that can protect us for our best interests. And, again, that's where we give thanks and praise that the Lord placed us in the family that he placed us in, and we receive the values from our parents, you know, that we have. And intervention is a key part of it when necessary.
Yeah. And are you back with us, Kathy?
Yes, I'm here.
So now,
hello?
I'm sure that you care enough, if you had to do some kind of serious intervention for your boys or for people in your family, that you would go beyond their necessary concerns if you thought they were not capable of mentally making the proper decisions. Is that not right?
Yeah, that's correct. And we actually have did an intervention for my brother before, but he didn't listen to us, but we still did the intervention, and he had to go through the process of the repercussions of what he did. So,
and that's what I think family is about. I mean, if I miss nothing else, now, mind you, I am a headstrong individual, and I do what I want to do most of the time if I feel strongly about it. But I can say I really appreciate it when my mom was alive, some of the talks that she would have with me, irregardless if I followed it or not, you know. And so she would let me give me what they talk about, give you enough rope to hang yourself. I was still aware that I needed to listen intently in case there was something that she said that I could grasp hold to. And I know that that's, you know, I miss that about her. I think, to be honest with you, I would be so much further ahead in my life had I still had my parents to give me some of that insight that they have. And you're right, you have to be open to it. But maybe he wasn't. But he seemed to care about people, and his family continued to care about him even after they started missing him. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and finish our discussion related to this incident But I just think it continues to tell us how important family is.
Just a thought. We must move beyond the darkness that exists in us to a place where the light can be seen through us, where our steps will guide us to peace and harmony, leaving the days of evil and destruction behind us, ending the focus of elimination while embracing tolerance and love, turning away from racism and bigotry, and wrapping our minds firmly around love and humanity. This is the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network, James T. Deshay. Sunday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time and Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Call in at 657-383-0309. We can no longer reside in the shadows of life. It is a must that we be out in front of the issues that impact our lives now and in the future. Please visit my website, www.jamestdeshay.com. Again, that's www.jamesddeshay.com. Also, write me at
USI Never Had It So Good, 101.1 Radio, the best R&B and hip-hop music, The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never Had It So Good Radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
Beauty is truly found beyond the symmetry of a nice face or perfect teeth. It's beyond smooth curves or huge muscles. It's created deep within the texture of the skin, where physical attributes have no value. Beauty is discovered where the spirit resides, created by the pressure of daily trauma and unhappy events. It's made strong by inspiration and warm, intense moments of joy. Beauty captivates the dreams of those who seek more than fine thighs and behinds. True beauty can't be confined to words that describe the flesh, because the Creator hid the essences of beauty inside the eternal being. What's displayed on the outside is no match to that radiates from within. We have to start searching for the treasure that exists below the surface to discover the true beauty of mankind.
All right, this is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, and we're talking about a horrific thing that happened to a young man who won $30 million in the lottery. And though he had family in his life, he had a mother and a sister, and he had many friends who were aware of who he was, but people sought to take advantage of him. And he had a young lady, a white female, who eventually took full control of his life and then sought to murder him and place his body under a concrete slab of a house that he had purchased for her. And so, you know, we're talking about where was the family, and why didn't the family intervene to give him some support, help him get beyond the control of this young lady? I see we have another caller, and I want to go and see if Regina would like to speak to this. How you doing, Regina?
Hey, how are you?
How you doing? Listen,
I'm okay.
What are your thoughts about the importance of family, and how would you intervene in your daughter's life if she won $30 million and some man got involved in her life and took control of the money?
Well, I'm sure I just have to be very easy about how I maintained a presence in her life, because oftentimes these, you know, people become so enthralled over new love or something like that, and the people who've been there for them have no say so, or they just think they don't know anything anymore. So I'd have to monitor it from afar, take control of some of the money, put it away, so that when all of this newness is over, she would still have something to fall back on.
Well, in this case, Regina, she buried him 6 feet under a slab of a house that he had bought for her and pretended that he was still alive for months and months and months. But the police were just not going for it. But
oh, my goodness.
I just wondered if his family could have intervened in order to keep him alive had they sought to do some type of intervention.
Probably not. They probably couldn't do anything. And I bet you they had done everything they could. I bet they'd done everything they could do, and he just refused to listen. Probably, like I said, got a little piece of newness, and the newness went to his head. New little piece of newness.
You know, you ladies are determined to make this one of the bad traits of a man, where we somehow or another fall under the spell of a woman. And,
oh, wow, ladies, now I just came on. Now, don't tell me that we're all on the same track.
One accord.
Yeah.
A new little piece of newness.
I'm not sure if I'm going along with that program, but I hear the fact that, you know, the fact that you all from three different regions and I have the same opinion.
Because guess what? you all cut from the same piece of fabric.
I beg to differ.
I don't.
Hey, I may give away some things, and I might spend some money, but I ain't giving nobody no power of attorney. So you can believe that. James and Shay going to be the only person writing some checks.
So if we hear about that, we need to come and check on you and take some samples of your food and all of this to make sure somebody isn't.
But no, you need to check those signatures, because I got problems with even giving my daughter power of attorney. Let's know I'm talking about somebody who just stepped in my life and I have no knowledge of them. That's some serious business when you give
ladies,
a person.
Okay, ladies, y'all hear it right. We'll be headed to Orlando.
Yes.
Hey, well, let me just share this with you. I'm in a home that I have been in since I was 8 or 9 years old. And the other day my daughter mentioned that I should sell the house to her. And outside of her presence, I got to thinking about that thing. I said, now, if I sell my house to my daughter and she wake up one morning and tell me to get out of her house, you know, I am not, I think a lot of things have to happen before I trust signing my house over to somebody else, despite blood. So I'm telling you that, if you ever hear that James Deshay gave a young lady power of attorney over all over the little bit of money he got, you better come running and tell him to check that signature.
Mr. Deshay, we'll keep an eye out on that.
I mean, hey, I'm all about love, but there's some things you got to question when somebody wants that kind of authority over you. I'm not asking for that kind of authority over anybody, so I don't know why I'd give it up that kind of authority.
Okay, okay, Mr. DeShea. But your brothers out there, they don't have the willpower that you have, evidently.
Okay, they say, and the two shall become one. So when you become one with someone, you never know what you will do. So you can't never
the
say
two
never.
Shall become one. That means my signature get to go on. You sign your money over to me, and then I'll sign mine over to you. But it ain't gonna go in no one direction. So that two become one come with some agreement.
Right.
I'm not with that old saying. What is that saying? Talking about everything, all of yours is mine, and all of mine is mine. No.
Ladies, aren't they supposed to be walking in the same direction?
Right.
Nah. I do walk in the same direction, but what did Reagan say? Trust and verify.
Well, once you get married, then I'm sure that'll change.
Oh, I believe in romance, and I believe in love, and I'm a big believer in that stuff. But I'm a believer in common sense, too.
It goes beyond romance and love. I said once you get married, then that will change. And once you learn what the roles are, the king and the queen, and the two shall become one, it'll change. It will change. Not saying that you have to give all of your possessions to anyone. I'm saying the two shall become one. One-minded, you know, conversation the same. Everything goes together in one bucket.
Okay.
There's
all
mine and all yours. Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm
a big believer in that. I don't mind her having her signature on my bank account and on my home and all that stuff. But now if you're going to ask to be on those things, please be prepared to allow me to be on yours. Because as soon as I hear you having hesitation about me being on your bank account, I'm going to wonder why you want to be on mine.
Well, we don't have enough time to go into this. It's not that she's asking to be on it. The two shall become one.
Yeah, okay. You still, I hear you trying to convince me about that, but that one go both ways as far as I'm concerned. I ain't got no problem with her signature being on mine as long as that same day we go over to her bank account. And we make sure mine on hers.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Let's continue this on tomorrow.
Well, we can. We can write this down. And make
I'll be watching. What's tomorrow? 6 o'clock?
And I know I'm going to have to get some men on this line. Because I see right now, y'all ain't going to be double-teaming me on that particular subject.
Tomorrow's at 8. So yeah, you have plenty of time to get all you need this day to help you out, because you're gonna need some help, brother.
Ladies, I'll be with Jill Scott tomorrow night at 8. So I'll have to catch up on Sunday.
Oh, how wonderful! Enjoy yourself. How nice.
I was just blessed with a ticket. Yes. So I will catch up with you all Sunday.
Okay. Well, look here. Well, we may have to put
hopefully
it off,
by Sunday.
But I'm definitely going to line me some brothers up so I know I won't be the only brother on the line that day.
Hopefully by Sunday he will have lined up somebody, and you all may have convinced him otherwise when I come back. Might be a new game.
All right.
It'll take longer than Sunday. It'll take longer than Sunday.
I'm finna go. We at the end of the show, and you all take care. Y'all done took us in a whole nother direction. This is Talk, Love, and Reflection. Signing off and thanking y'all for being on the line.
When you feel your voice is not being heard, please consider calling the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections. The show wants to be the vehicle you can use to express your opinion or get your issue out to a larger audience. We're living in a time that we can no longer allow others to speak on our behalf. If you wish to be a guest on the show and discuss on the show what's important to you, call James T. Deshay at 407-394-9819. Your issue or focus can be placed on the calendar. The show is live 7 days a week, Sunday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Call in 657-383-0309. We can no longer reside in the shadow of life. It's imperative that we're on top of the issues that impact our lives now and in the future.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1. And it's 24/7, the world's best radio station. Ain't no difference when the king goes.